Hello, dear readers. Your second favorite co-host here, Austin, to tell you how you can get ad-free episodes, exclusive bonus episodes called Ask Anna and Austin, where Anna and I read patron-submitted questions and Reddit questions to give our unsolicited advice for only $5 a month. The Patreon has been changed and updated to the Dispersed Audio Patreon and features content from Reading Isn't for Kids, Grim Encounters, and So You Finally Watched, all three of my shows. There are a slew of tiers to pick from, but if you pledge at the $15 tier, you get ad-free episodes of all three shows, all three bonus podcasts, that includes Ask Anna and Austin, Flight School, and the Talking Grim episodes, voting on one book we read a month, and the Grim Encounters Bloopers episode, which features Anna. That isn't even mentioning the other video content that is up on our Patreon, like Let's Plays Anna and I did, a cooking video. So join our Patreon today, and hey, thanks for listening.
This is an Encounter Co. podcast. Enjoy.
Good morning and welcome back to Reading Isn't for Kids, a reading book review show podcast where Austin and Anna, which is me and Anna, read and review a children's chapter book and sometimes comics. My name is Austin.
My name's Anna.
And today we read Junie B. Jones Is Not a Crook, book number 9.
Yeah.
From 1997 by Barbara Park.
Yeah.
And this one feels like an actual story.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. The lesson's really good. It's got a good moral.
It's not
got a good flow.
She's not a terrible person the whole time.
Only a little bit, but in a normal kid way.
What is your history? Do you remember this book? You said that you remembered this book.
I do. I did remember this book, yeah.
Anything else to elaborate on that?
Nope. The cover is pretty iconic. I think I say that for every cover, though.
Yeah, she's in like a chain gang outfit. And there's someone holding a gun to the back of her head.
Shut up.
A terrible thing happened to Junie B. Jones. And it's called, someone took her new black furry mittens. And they kept them. They didn't even put them in the lost and found at school. So when Junie B. finds a wonderful pin, she should be allowed to keep it too, right? That's fair, right? Right?
Yeah.
That's the back of the boop.
The bee doo bee bee. The bibbity bobbity.
The book starts out with hold on.
Oh, whoa.
Our Patreon changed.
Oh, yeah, it did. I wasn't sure what was going on.
Our Patreon changed. It got merged with the Grim Encounters Patreon and the So You Finally Watched Patreon. It saves me time having it all in one place.
Yes.
And it limits it so that you don't get charged 48 times to support us.
Yes.
So you can go there. All of the previous tiers are on there from the old Patreon and all the stuff. There's actually more stuff on the new one. I had went ahead and I uploaded all, I think like 42 episodes ad-free onto the Patreon, the new one. So all of them are there. Same with all of So You Finally Watched. I didn't put all the Grim Encounters on there because there's over 140 episodes or something, and I'm just...
Yeah.
There's no way for me to organize it. The only reason this one was easy is because I just did them in order.
Yeah.
I just posted them in order, but there's no way to organize it on the feed. So it's all there. $5 can support here, and you get all the same stuff you were getting before. And there's a couple $10 tiers that let you support two of the shows. And then there's a $15 tier that lets you support all three. And it's $15 a month, and you get...
so much content.
Literally so much stuff. It is kind of outrageous how much stuff is on there. Because there's
We do a lot of stuff.
Because not only do you get the Ask on Austin, you get Flight School and Talking Grim, and then you also get the 4 or 5 videos we've done, like a Let's Play, there's like a cooking vlog, there's like a slew of blooper episodes that we're in with a couple other people, but there's blooper episodes of Christiana being really smart.
Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, go check that out. The link in the description should work. If it doesn't, just let me know and I'll send it to you because it's there.
Crazy. I got a little canker sore on the very tip of my tongue. Look at it. Look.
Yeah, I got one on the right of my tongue.
It hurts.
Yeah. So now you know how it feels just to talk to you for most of the day. The book starts out with Junie getting new Nortons. That's what I wrote. Not mittens. Nortons.
Yeah, well.
Getting new mittens from her grandpa, Frank Miller, that are made of fake fur.
Yes.
And they're black and sparkly.
Furry fur.
Yeah, and he got them at the store for her, not for Christmas or Easter or anything, just for like a present.
Just for no reason.
Just for no reason. And like,
they weren't even on sale.
They weren't even on sale. And like,
and she's like, that's the best reason to get a present, is that there's no reason.
And it's a good adventure because it's actually true. She then goes to school and she starts showing him to everybody. And this is what she says to everybody. I have it marked to talk about it.
Okay.
Look, everybody, at my new mittens. My grandpa Frank Miller brought them for no good reason. I waved them all around. How many children see these lovely things? Raise your hands. How many children think these mittens are gorgeous? Please come forward. Unhinged behavior.
She's also wearing her jacket. What does she call it? I can't even remember what she calls it. She calls it something. Oh, her attractive jacket.
Winter jacket.
Yes, her attractive winter jacket. And she's like, it's warm out today.
And she's like, hey, Lucille, look at him. And Lucille's like, wow, poorie. Well, like, poor garbage.
She's like, cool. She's like, my entire family owns so much fur.
We're actually the result of a couple of species going extinct. And then she's like, my grandma can't wear her fur minx coat out in public, though, because people will throw paint on her.
And Judy B's like, why would they throw paint at her? She's like, that's what animal lovers do because they're mad we used real animal fur. And you're just so lucky that it's fake animal fur.
I don't like Lucille at all, and I don't like her family even more. Her family makes me hungry. You know what I mean? Like, I want to eat them.
Like, what has possessed this grandma to believe that people are going to throw paint at her?
They do that. But it's pig's blood.
What the fuck?
On people, yeah, you don't know about that?
No. Why would they do that? That's dumb.
I don't know, like punish them for buying fur and stuff? I don't know.
Also, why pig's blood? Isn't that just as harmful as wearing fur?
I don't know if it happens a lot anymore, but they used to like throw red paint on people and on like rich people that would like flaunt all their furs and stuff.
Weird commentary happening in a Junie B. Jones book.
I mean, Lucille's saying that it's bad they do that.
Well.
Lucille's Nana sucks.
Yeah.
Then they go into school and she starts annoying everyone with their gloves, including her boyfriend Ricardo.
But like, it's hilarious. She's like, look. This is what furry hands look like if they're waving. Look, this is what furry hands look like when they're picking up something.
This is how fur hands look when they're marching to my table. This is how fur hands look when they're no longer in my possession.
She got the gloves confiscated. And she's like, yes,
give the gloves back to me, Mrs. You do not wish for my hunger to take control.
And she's like, you can get it back at the recess.
I am an eldritch horror beyond your imagination, missus. The gloves satiate my hunger, missus.
You may call me Junie B.
Do you know what the B stands for?
Something
your mind. Beatroxis. Beatroxis. Beatroxis.
Something your mind can't even comprehend.
Then at recess, she gets the gloves back, and they start playing horsey. Yellow, blackie, and brownie.
Yes.
And then she gets too hot, though.
Yes.
So she takes them off.
Uh-huh. And she sets them next to the tree in a neat little pile.
There's also just this weird-ass horse game combo they have that, like, you can't change your career of being a brown horse.
Yeah. She's like, I've been a brown horse my entire career. I cannot have black gloves on.
And the picture is... What the...
Delicious kids being kids.
I never played horses.
Well, duh, because you're not a horse.
I got a horse.
What did you play? On the playground, what did you play as a kid?
Alone.
Sometimes we played Garfield.
I'm not even kidding.
Sometimes we played Garfield.
Yeah.
And sometimes we played Star Wars. And...
No. I remember there was, like, Roots and in some of the trees, and I would pretend I'm a little car driving around it by myself.
We played SpongeBob a lot.
I remember one time we built, like, the boys' version of a fairy garden, but it was, like, a racetrack. Out of, like, sticks and stones. And then when we were leaving, a bunch of fifth graders went over and just stomped it all out.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm obviously not still upset about that.
Did you guys have a wolf clan and a cat clan?
I don't remember any of that, no. There was only like two types of people. Blonde girl.
But like the entire class, like the entire fourth grade class was like divided into cat clan and wolf clan.
I like for some reason remember even elementary school being really cliquey. Like even, you know what I mean? Like pre-middle school, like it was like cliquey. Which is, like, now our son, like, hangs out with everyone.
Right.
Which is how it should be. I just, like, that's, like, my knowledge. Obviously, that's not normal. But, yeah.
That school that I went to was extremely underprivileged, and about 60% of the students fell below the poverty line.
When she goes back to get them, they have been stoled. They've been stoled.
They had been stoled.
She says there's a goddamn crook. I didn't even know there was crooks at this school.
There's a goddamn crook in this school.
So Mrs. is like, okay, well, I'll take you to the principal's office.
And she's like, no, don't make me.
I'll be grounded, young lady. She's like, no, just check the lost and found. So she goes and checks the lost and found, and it's not in there.
No, but a teddy backpack is in there. And she's like, this is the shit. She's like, I want this. And the principal's like, that's not how this works. And she's like, but I want it. And he's like, nah, dude. He's like, this isn't about taking. This is about, like, other people being able to find what they've lost because it makes you feel good to return things.
I wonder how... I always remember Lost and Founds being like, if something was there for like a long time, that they would just like throw it out or give it to somebody. That's how I always remembered it. So I was thinking at the end of this book, they were going to like give her the teddy bear backpack because like yeah. No one's claimed it in 2 years. Like they obviously don't care about it. It's gone. It's dead to them. But that doesn't happen. Spoilers.
But Junie B's like, as she's walking out, she's like, ooh, actually, I do remember that I did have a teddy bear backpack, and I did lose it. So I should probably take it back, because that's mine.
My mom's going to be mad if I don't bring it home.
And he's like, get out.
And then on her way back, she finds a tri-tip pin, a 90s classic.
Yes.
One of those, like...
Oh, it's a four. No, it's four. Quad-tip.
Quad-tipped, so like an echidna. Like Knuckles.
Yes, I
like
heard
Idris
you.
Elba that plays Knuckles in Sonic 2. Hey y'all, Nort here. I want to talk to you about the show sponsor, Dubby. Dubby is a clean energy drink that is made to give you focus with no crash, jitters, or angst like other energy drinks. It contains vitamins, amino acids, and 150 milligrams of that sweet, sweet caffeine. All you got to do, take a scoop of it. It comes with a little scooper. Put that little scooper in the water. You can get a W shaker. They're lovely. You shake it up, and you get to drinking. And I got to be honest with you. I never tried energy drink stuff like this. I was always a like classic Monster energy boy. I mean, since like eighth grade, that's all I've been doing. Two a day, that's what I was doing. But now, I only need to drink one thing a dubby, and I feel like the energy lasts me longer. It makes me feel better, and I'm not like jittering and bouncing off the walls. It's just like a good, clean energy goodness. If you want to get some money off of your next order of dubby, just put use code Grim Encounters in the checkout box. If you're looking for a suggestion, I suggest their flavor, Big Energy Tears. It tastes just like a goddamn blue raspberry slushy. And I just throw some ice in there, and it's cold, and it's delicious, and it's so good. So get out there, use our code at checkout, and go get some W.
What is that, a bird? A plane? No, that's a new D&D podcast called Afterlife. In Afterlife, we follow four strangers as they're tasked by death to go into the world of the infinite domain and find and defeat their pillars. But enough about the general story. Let's meet our strangers.
Hi, my name is Aaron Rash, and I play Ophelia Afton.
That was how the key fell out of his prison wallet into you.
How did he hold his prison wallet?
You know,
no pocket.
That's exactly how he held his prison wallet.
Oh, shit.
My name is Tyler Waddell, and I play Lucas Gray.
What are you guys at?
I'm at 86.
59?
78.
Okay.
So, oh, we're right there. We're good.
Still bigger than all of you.
Can I kill Lucas?
Sacrifice.
Can I strike Lucas?
Hi, I'm Raven Reed, and I play Ariana Wren.
You said, oh, he's talking. Come and go. Shoot and scoot. You ejaculate and evacuate.
Hello, my name is McCandless Harrison, and I play Fandalto Pendleton.
I'm going to scream,
your soul is forfeit.
And I'm going to use this, like, it almost looks like a hammer of dawn just smites him into the ground and yanks him into the ground, pulling him piece by piece.
He's so fucking edgy.
Literally.
And myself, Britton Gifford, as the DM, that man has finally came back and has taken the body of Azriel. Ripped us. What?
You said came.
Oh my god, Jesus. Fuck.
I told you it was gonna happen every time.
I'm not ready to go. I'm not ready to leave. I need answers for this pain, for the struggle, for the strife. Please let me know. Peace is all I need. Till then, I'ma push, I'ma pull, I'ma fight. Wherever I go, my destiny is near. I'll do whatever it takes, I'll pay whatever the price. Cause all I really know is even in the end, I'ma find a way to live, even in our afterlife.
At home, she decides, she takes it, and she's like, well, I guess I should keep it. I guess finders keepers.
She's like, this person obviously didn't care about it, and obviously doesn't love the pin. So, finders keepers. And then she keeps it hidden in her pocket.
All day.
Because she doesn't want to get caught.
But it's a pin.
It's a pin.
It's
a cool pin, though.
At home, she decides that Grandpa will have to buy her another pair of gloves. But Grandpa says that it was the last pair at the store.
Yep.
Which isn't just him saying that.
Right.
Because the rest of it, everyone else says it to her too.
Yes. Because she's like, oh, look, your wallet. You got it. She's like, I think she calls it his like big fat cash wallet or something like that. She's like, you got cash in there, don't you? He's like, I do. He said, but I can't buy you new gloves. Sorry.
He then tells a story about how his wallet was returned to him, and the person who returned it didn't take anything, and then just put it in the mailbox and didn't even be like, hey, pat my back, sir. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if they didn't, not only would he have lost all the stuff, but he would have lost this picture that he has of her.
Yes. She's like, Grandpa, that's you and a baby. And he's like, that's not just any baby.
Dude,
That is not just any baby, Junie B. That is you, the first time I hold you, when you were a small baby.
You were
a very small baby.
You were a small baby and you had small boots. Small baby poots.
God.
Little poop. Little baby poots. You were a very stinky, annoying baby, Junie B. Jones.
Which is the first lesson Junie has ever been actually taught in this whole fucking series.
Yeah.
Someone actually took the time to teach this fucking girl something.
And it was Grandpa Frank Miller.
Grandpa Fomp Miller. Grandpa Fomp Miller. And when she goes to her room, she starts to feel all guilty. Just because, like, the pin about it. Like, she's, like, sad about it. And then starts talking about the crook and how they probably have tattoos.
Yes, she said every crook she's ever seen on TV is bald and has tattoos.
I kept wondering about who was the mitten crook and what did he look like? Because I've seen crooks on TV before, and they are biggish and meanish with tattoos on themselves. Just then I sat up in my bed, because a good idea popped in my head, that's why. Hey, a tattoo is easy to spot, I bet. So maybe I can find that crook on the playground tomorrow.
Spoiler, all the kids wear jackets tomorrow because it's cold.
And they're six. And she starts crying because she can't find the crook.
Yeah. She starts to cry and she, like, recess gets called to go inside. And, like, as she's walking up, this girl walks past her.
Pink fluffy coat.
She's got pink fluffy dress, pink fluffy coat, and fuzzy black gloves in her pocket.
And Junie B fucking goes buck wild, bro.
She's like...
Like Jersey Shore style.
She's like...
She starts beating her up. I think if Mrs. wasn't there, she would have started swinging.
She probably would have.
Dude, she was livid. And she's like, you talk about goddamn mittens, you fucking bitch. I'm gonna beat your ass.
This is for pink coat girl.
She tells her teacher, who then confronts the little girl, and the little girl says she found them by the tree. And didn't think anyone wanted them.
She's like, obviously you, she like, and it starts accusing Junie B. Jones. She's like, well, obviously you didn't care and you weren't taking very good care of them. She's like, so they're better off with me.
She left them on her coat.
Yes.
Ah.
Help.
Okay, we're back. For you guys, that was a second. For us, that was 30 minutes.
30 minutes, yeah.
We had a little meeting. Had a little meeting of the minds.
Sorry.
Had a little meeting of the minds. And Christiana snorted mummy ashes. That's why she made that noise. Because she believes it'll make her younger. They did that in the 20s.
That's fucked up. They would eat them, too. Like,
okay, yeah. Why is eating them more shocking than snorting them?
Because people were snorting shit all the time.
Yeah, just snorting baby poots.
What the fuck?
Bruh with reverb.
Huh?
Huh? Huh?
Huh?
Huh?
No Chick-fil-A sauce?
No Chick-fil-A. What's another one?
Lemonade?
D's nuts?
Wacky slush.
Skinny penis. Damn, Daniel. Chilling in a hot tub, 5 feet apart, cause we're not gay.
Bonsoir.
Frisha Vakadu. What about this one? It's over 9,000. Can I has cheeseburger? Or my good goosebumps.
Or my good goosebumps.
All right. Thank you for coming to our meme TED Talk. Yeah, this girl's getting all sassy, and then Junie's like, bro, you stole them from me, dude.
And the teacher's like, give them back. And she's like, no. And she's like, give them back.
And then Junie's like, you shouldn't steal things. Obviously, they were somebody's.
And then the girl just starts crying.
And then the teacher says she should have taken, she shouldn't have taken the mittens, and she should have taken the lost and found, because stealing isn't nice. And then Junie is super mean, but like, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
Straight jacked her shit.
Yeah. Then the book ends with Junie returning the pen, and she finally gets that grin.
Yeah.
Because she's like, when do I start to feel better after doing a good thing? And I said, Junie, that's the thing. Sometimes you never do.
And then, like, that makes the receptionist laugh. Because she asks the receptionist, she's like, the receptionist's like, do you need something else? And she's like, no, I'm just waiting for the grin. Like, when does it feel good? And, like, she starts laughing. And she's like, okay, sure.
And then she's like, oh, there it is. And that's like one of those moments of these books where it's like, oh, that's just actually a 6-year-old.
Yes.
Because like it's not something that happens right away. And like she was expecting it like to happen right away.
Yeah.
And it's something that you kind of like when you think about it, like, oh, I did this. This was a positive thing I did. Like this is someone's possession and I returned it. Because it's not about what you get out of the situation. It's about helping other people.
Correct.
So anyway. 9 out of 10.
Yeah.
This is the best Junie B. Jones books we've ever read.
Nice.
I don't think I've given one higher than a 6.
I'm going to give it 8.5.
8.5. 8.5 out of 10, Chrissy?
Yeah.
No Chick-fil-A sauce? So she isn't terrible like at all. She isn't annoying really at all. She isn't mean to her baby brother. She's in fact nice to her baby brother.
Well, she does. He is napping, and she does yell, but she doesn't.
It's not like
she's not yelling at her baby brother. She's yelling because she wants to go to the store to get more mittens.
Yeah, it's not like the other times when she was yelling in his face.
Ollie, Ollie.
I hope they continue this, where it's kind of like a. You sound like a smiling Friends character. You do that. You do that one more time. I'm gonna punch you, dude. Oh, man! I told you, man. Come on. That clip was why I wanted to watch that show. That clip's so it's still so funny. Why did he do that?
Don't know.
I'm so excited for the second season. All right. Book reviews from Goodreads.com.
Boop, boop.
They gave a 4.02 out of 5 or an 8.04 out of 10 on our score.
What?
Aruba gave it 1 star in 2022 and said, okay.
Fuck yeah.
Emily gave it 1 star in 2009 and said, I don't agree with the idea that, in quotes, it gets them to read. Junie is snotty and disrespectful. If my children are going to read, I would like them to fill their brains with images of children who have some values, and I would like them to, I would like them to absorb.
Arguably, the worst Junie B. Jones book to post that on. Like, if I would maybe
the fruitcake one.
I was gonna say yeah, the fruitcake one.
Yeah.
No, sneaky,
it's just because she's not a god.
Sneaky peeky spying, I think.
It's because she didn't do a god in this book. She didn't pray to God for help.
What are you talking about?
I don't
know.
I'm trying to get in the mind of Emily.
Okay.
From 2009. This was right after the housing crash.
Housing market.
Crash.
They crashed the housing market.
I was 14. Yeah.
Well, good. You're finally awake.
Cool. We're still doing memes. Michelle gave it 3 stars in 2010 and said, Junie B is a little stinker. I'm not a fan. All right, Drew Gooden.
She's just a little stinker.
That's like a Drew Gooden quote. I swear to God.
Yeah, little stinker.
Anna,
this is you.
You gave it 20. You gave it 4 stars in 2023 and said, Junie B shaped my personality. This one is hilarious, but it's not her best work.
Damn.
Well, she shouldn't be shaping your personality. I'm going to be fair with you, but. Mika gave it 5 stars in 2008 and said, I know what she feels like when she lost her mittens.
Damn, just like them three little kittens.
Dude, fuck on bars, player. Give me some skin. Give me some skin, player. Oh, yeah, do some bars, dude. Come on, dap it up. Fuck, girl. I've always wanted to, like, have sex with someone and then, like, fucking dap them up at the end.
What the hell?
I don't know. But I do good job, player. We both came good. JS gave it 5 stars in 2019 and said, I googled Finders Keepers Losers Weepers. First, I found an Elvis Presley song. It is a heartwarming one. Then I found a Nella Dodd song. Sorry for her friend, but it is a fun song. So somehow okay. I still have a good feeling about that phrase.
What are you talking
about? Dude, what is JS talking about?
Why did you Google Finders Keepers Losers?
JS, did you have COVID? Like, were you one of the first cases of COVID? Is that why? Did you have COVID brain when you wrote this? Yari gave it 5 stars in 2016 and said, I used to read Junie B. Jones to my children as bedtime stories, and we'd laugh and laugh. I spotted this discarded and badly damaged book in the trash, and I had to read it because a book that's thrown away is such a sad sight. As always, cute and funny story.
Hell yeah, Yari.
I like to add a nice one at the end. I like to try and find like a heartwarming one, like a real person reviewed it. I do agree. If I see a book in the trash, it is upsetting unless it's like a, you know, like a hate book or something.
Sure.
Yeah, like or like an Imagine Dragons album.
Yes, Imagine Dragons album, the book.
You know what?
You know
they would try to write one.
Hey, baby. Huh?
Why, I ought to smack you right now, Kessa. How'd that guy say it on MASH?
I don't know. I've never seen MASH.
You can MASH these nuts.
It's an old people show, dude.
You can MASH these nuts. quote from book. Quote from book.
Quote from book.
There are 19 quotes for this book.
Oh, my God.
And these are some of the best ones. Okay. There's only been one that's had more quotes, and that was the Harry Potter book that we are prepping for.
Sure.
Spoilers.
Wow!
Guess who we're waiting on?
Damn, I bet you can't guess.
This is the top-rated one. Probably.
Dude, she says probably like 30 times in this book.
Just probably.
Probably.
Just probably, period. And then my favorite submission, I have fur hands, William. See them? See my fur hands? I think that one describes the book more.
I have fur hands, William. See them? See my fur hands?
William, do you... I have four hands, William. See them? See my four hands, William?
William. Cry, baby William.
Cry, baby William.
I have fur hands.
William.
Do you see my fur hands?
Did you know what your parents did in 1984? They sold me something, William. Cry, baby William. They sold me something. Their firstborn, William. I've come to collect with my fur hands, William. Do you see these fur hands, William?
You want to know how I got these fur hands?
You want to know my grandpa Frank Miller got me them? And she slips from an eldritch horror back into just a 6-year-old. Dude, actually...
He went to the store, the last one.
I would pay $20 a book for someone to do that. To just put these, like, for this lady to go back, write these books, but just, like, cut in... You know how, like, Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies did that with zombies? But, like, she's an eldritch horror. questions.
Questions. Oh,
there was a couple discussions, but they were all, like, book club shit. It was all boring. For questions, this question was asked anonymously 7 years ago. Where did the crook steal her mittens? Thankfully, Kira replied 4 years later and said, you are spoilers. No offense, though.
It said someone stole her mittens on the back of the book.
You are spoilers. No offense, though. Why did Kira do that?
You are spoilers.
And then...
No offense, though.
Mary Jean Vanessi, Yahoo.com, asked 8 years ago, do you have any idea about the story events? Sophia responded a year later, it was Caravelle night. To which Kira responded 4 years later and said, bro, No, you were wrong. No offense, though. Dude, bro, no, you were wrong. No offense, though.
Bro, no, you are wrong. No offense, though. Dude, and I like that offense is spelled wrong.
I know, I left it how it was spelled, too. O-F-E-N-S-E. No offense, though. Bro, no. She responded 4 years later.
Also, it was a caravel night. That was the Yogi Blucky fruitcake one.
I know. Why was Sophie a lion?
It was a caravel night.
I
Bro, no, you're wrong.
No offense, though.
No offense, though.
I miss this part of the internet, and we've kind of lost it. We lost it a long time ago, right? Like 2015, we lost this internet. You can find pockets still of it, right? And Goodreads is one of them. And I never want it to change.
Dude, Goodreads is Dune popcorn bucket. No popcorn extra butter.
But no, it's also fucking... No offense, though. if we name titles of episodes, that would be the episode.
No offense, though.
No offense, though. It's offense.
Bro, no, you're wrong. No offense, though.
There's no commas or periods either, so it's all just... No, bro, you're wrong. No offense, though.
You are spoilers. No offense, though.
You are spoilers. What does that mean?
You are spoilers.
You are spoilers, Junie B. It is me, Kirira.
I see. You're back, Kira.
No offense, though.
Do you see my fur hands?
You are spoilers. No offense, though. We would like to thank our lovely patrons over at the Dispersed Audio Patreon. Zeller. Nacho Lady, Yabster, Tesla, Cosmic Youth, Actual Atlas, Jaden Winter, Natalie, Mouse, Leo Windrider, Turner, Z Boyce, Skittle Kitty, and the lovely, the magnificent Scott Miller. Thank you so much for listening and supporting and reviewing, and everything you guys do is so lovely, and I appreciate you. You don't understand. I want you all to just go to a mirror and just look into it and say, I'm worth it and I'm great, because you are. Here is some jokes from a Goofy Good Clean Jokes for Kids by Bob Phillip. Anna ran upstairs, so I did not get to read these jokes to her. She wouldn't understand them anyway, so it's completely fine. So as a treat, I'm going to read a whole page of these jokes. So this is from chapter 18. Page 73, good-humored goofies. Where can you always find happiness? In the dictionary. How do you make a slow employee fast? Don't give him anything to eat for a while. That one's fucked up. What is worse than a centipede with corns? A hippopotamus with chapped lips. Don't quite get that one. What adds color and flavor to a very popular old pastime? Lipstick. Is that like a sex joke? This is a kid's book. Why did the comedian's wife sue for divorce? She claimed he was trying to joke her to death. Wow. Love to see it. Good book. Good jokes. The goofier the jokes, the greater the glee. So, that's what the back says. When did good old Bob put this out again? 1996. I was the wee old age of one. Anna wasn't born yet. So really good. I don't know who did the illustrations on this, but it's pretty bad. So, you know. The first chapter is Gaylord and Gladys Goofy.